reserve a time towards the end of the service here where if there is something that God has blessed you with through your father, or something that is that he has taught you that has been instrumental in your life as you've been walking through your life and stuff, we want to reserve a time for each and everybody to come up and share that as a bit of a testimony. There's no compulsion, you don't have to, but if you want to, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. I would just ask that we don't preach, just share. Share your testimony, share what has blessed you about your relationship with your father. I was sitting here thinking as we were worshiping, and I was looking from my vantage point across the room and looking across all the fathers that we have here in our midst. And I got to tell you guys, I feel really blessed and honored to be walking this journey together with each of you. It's a high calling. It's a very high calling. And it is one that is such a tremendous blessing in so many ways, and yet can be challenge us to our very absolute fundamental core. So much so that I thank God. I was pondering as I was developing or putting this together, and I was pondering the idea that I don't know what's the greater blessing, a father that is pursuing God and teaching his children, or the gift of the children for the father to learn how to pursue God and teach his children. They both are critical. They both come together. And I will tell you that for me, in my experience, in my journey, I don't believe I could have even begun to get an idea what God's heart, what the heart of a father, God Father, looked like until he blessed us with kids. Until we started down that path of having these individuals that start out completely and wholly and utterly dependent upon us. And the relationships that brings, and it's just it's a real joy. So I just want you all to know how blessed I am to be here. So today I'm going to do something a little bit different. We're going to start with a video clip of a song that's been around probably for, I don't know, 3-4 years. I don't know when it first came out. By a country artist named Rodney Atkins. And it's a video called Watching You. The song is called Watching You. So I'm going to shut up for a minute. We're going to watch this, and then we'll pick up from there.
Till his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went a-flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, in my four-year-old said a four-letter word. It started with S and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where'd you learn to talk like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants, yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do. I've been watching you. We got
back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me help my stupid self. The nest side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son Scooby-Doo nightlight. He crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We like fixing things and holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do. So I've been watching you. With tears in my eyes, I wrapped him in a hug. Said, my little bear is growing up. And he said, but when I'm big, I'll still know what to do. 'Cause I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. By then I'll be strong as Superman. We'll be just alike, hey, won't we, Dad? When I can do everything you do, 'cause I've been watching you.
Does that choke anybody else up?
Wow.
It just, every time I watch that, I just get choked up. Because I think about what God has blessed us with. You know, we are such a tight family here. And we have a lot of that wonderful things, but you know, that dad in that video, he's not perfect. He's just like me. He's just like me when I go out and work on my car and I break my knuckles across that engine block and I mutter under my breath. I don't try and do that as much anymore, but there was a day. Corey can testify to this. You know, you've been seeing a lot of stuff over the social media over the last, I don't know, well, it seems like forever, but there's a lot of stuff coming out about somebody's lives matter. Black lives matter, cops' lives matter, people matter, this matter, everybody matters. Fathers matter. Fathers matter. There are some really daunting and ugly statistics out there that talk about what it looks like in situations where people are growing up in homes and places where there is no father. And we matter. It doesn't mean that we need to be perfect, but it does mean that you matter. And that you know, the sharing in this video, the sharing that he talked about, he was when he went into his prayer, I so identify with his prayer. You know, he gets through and he comes back from the incident and the truck driving there. And the lyric goes, we got back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard, saying, Lord, please help me help my stupid self. How many of you guys have ever prayed that? In maybe not those words, but in some sense of that picture. Yeah. me, definitely me. Definitely me. And you get a sense when you get put in a situation like the video, you realize people are watching. They're watching. And then when they say the very same thing that you say, that's either awesomely good or that's, uh-oh, I'm really concerned. Look, we have people watching, and it's not just our kids. It is not just our kids. Because the reality is, gentlemen in this room, especially those that are of the father age, we have impacts beyond the sphere of our family. They are looking to us. They are looking to us to find out, what does this look like? People want to know what father looks like. And as we have been given a privilege, an honor, a challenge, scary thought of the idea that we get to be something that is representing what Father God looks like. That scares the tar out of me at times. I will confess to you totally, that scares the tar out of me. But that's how God chose to do it. He could have just set something up completely different. But if we wanted, when you look at the world around you, and you look within your families and you look around, the place where you're going to start drawing conclusions about what a father's heart looks like is going to be from your dad. And we have such an honor and a privilege to go there, but that means that we have to go there. That we have to be the ones that do this. We have to be the ones that are pursuing Christ in our lives. We have to be the ones that are wanting to get a better handle on what it looks like to love my wife. Corey and I were talking on the way up here this morning, and I said, if I were going to give a young man counsel that's starting a family, I would tell him, love your wife well. You want to do something great for your kids? Love your wife well. If you love your wife well, if you love her and demonstrate what Christ looks like to her, they are going to see it. And not only that, they're going to watch, and they're going to watch Dad, and they're going to draw conclusions about what this looks like and how Dad treats Mom and what that looks like. There's a scripture in Proverbs. Probably familiar with it. But it's in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. It says, the children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of the children is their father. The glory of the children is their father. I want to tell you a little bit of a story about my growing up years. I loved my dad to death. He wasn't perfect, but I really love him, and he genuinely tried to teach me a lot of wonderful things. When, from my years, growing up years, from the time that I was pretty much born through about, I was 14 when my dad, during that whole period of time, my dad was a Colorado Highway State Patrolman. Okay, so he was a cop. But he was a Highway State Patrolman in these small, we lived in very small rural towns in Colorado. And when I think about this scripture, I think about my dad, because my dad wanted to care for people. He was interested in enforcing the law, because that was part of his job. But his real talent, his real skill, his real I don't know, you call it a ministry if you want to, although it really wasn't that, was caring for people. I can tell you all kinds of stories about things that he did where he went way above and beyond what it took to enforce the law or do his job. One instance, he drove a lady off of Red Mountain Pass in Colorado. I don't know if any of you have ever been up around Ouray, Silverton, but there's a mountain pass that goes up between those two mountains, and there's a highway that runs through there. There's a stretch of about 15 to 20 miles of that highway that just goes like this, and one side is the rock wall, and the other side of the road is 100 plus feet down to a creek in the bottom. And I mean, it is, there's, you know, shoulders about that wide. So there's no room for error up there. And this lady got up there late spring, and up in that high country, it's, you know, that goes, the pass goes over like 9,500 feet. So it's very, very high. They got a snowstorm. And this gal, she locked up. She froze. She could not drive down that road. And she just literally had a panic attack on the highway. So they could have, obviously they went up. He got called. He went up, took her off the hill, got the tow arranged to get her vehicle down to Ouray, Colorado, which was the town at the bottom of the hill. She was on her way to go to Wyoming, Cheyenne, Wyoming. I don't know how many of you know from Cheyenne, Wyoming, from Colorado, from Western Slope, Colorado, to Cheyenne, Wyoming is quite a trip. My dad was coming off of his shift and starting into his 3 days. He worked four on and three off in his shifts. And he was starting into his 3 day, and he called my wife. He said, I'm gonna drive her and her car to Wyoming so that she can get there safe, because she's got family up there. She's got to get taken care of anyhow. Bottom line is, he got, after coming off of a 10-hour shift on patrolling, he got in that car and he drove her all the way to Wyoming through a blizzard in up near Cheyenne, and then got on an airplane and came back home. And his life was full of that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of folks where you think about police officers and everybody gets, you know, oh, them. And you get two responses, typically. You get one that's like, you know, they're idiots and they're terrible people, or, man, that guy's the best guy. And my dad was one of those guys that everybody loved. Everybody loved him. As his child, my father was my glory. My father was the one that gave me the respect and the honor in the place where I was at. Everywhere I went, they knew me as Wally Ogden's boy. Oh, your dad's a patrolman. You know what he did for me? I'd hear story after story after story of people that would tell things that he did for them over and over again. And I learned through that my dad was extremely honorable and helpful, and that's what he was. But I got to live the blessings of that. I was the receiver of the blessings of that. I had favor amongst people in the town because of what he did and how he cared for people in his job capacity. Even favor that I didn't really deserve. When I was 16, I had just bought a brand new 1973 Plymouth Duster that was anything but stock. It had an oversized, massive V8 engine in it. It was fast and very loud and very quick and a whole lot of fun to drive. And I had been working on it for, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, getting some things fixed on it. And I'd finally gotten it all put back together again and running. And I was ready to take her downtown Paonia, Colorado. Okay, so here's the deal. Small town USA, I don't think any of you, maybe some of you lived in small town USA, but you'll get this if you did. Paonia, Colorado has a main drag, right? Has a main street. We didn't have any stoplights. Okay? So the cool thing to do was to get in your vehicle, go down to Main Street on Friday night, and drive up and down, and up and down, and up and down, and then you stop at the Dairy Freeze at the end of the street, get a drink or something, get back up and down, and you'd wave at people as you drove by. It was. I think about it now. I think, God, that's just insane. How much gas we burned up and down that street. But Paonia was situated such that the town, you would come down to the end of the main street and you dead end. You'd have to turn around and then go back out again. And then the other block, it was about, I don't know, it was probably about a mile and a half, 2 miles of drag that you'd do this circle in. And then beyond that, the highway went out and connected with the main highway for about another 3-4 miles. And it was just straight as a string. And it kind of had a little bit of a rise and climb till it stopped. Okay, so brain starts working, 16-year-old, pretty certain at that point in time it's stupid is the name of the game, was for me. Got in the car, did my last drag, and I thought, I finally got this thing running, it's really running sweet, I'm going to blow it out. So I turned my loop and I started that drag towards the end of town. And at the Dairy Freeze, I stuck my foot in it and just went blazing out of town. Man, lit that thing up. I was probably, confession time, I was probably doing 80, 85 in that short little 3-mile strip. Stopped, got on the highway that was connected our town area and the next town 10 miles down. Okay, so we're talking very rural, 2-lane highways. Got on that and then stuck my foot in it again and drove another 5 miles down the road. The speedometer goes to 110. I don't know if it goes any faster than that. I pegged it at 110. Okay? So I'm flying. Disclaimer, do not do this, kids. Okay? Don't do this. It's stupid. I'm telling you right now. I went zinging down to Midway. It was a store shop that had like 2 or 3 retail people in their retail shops there. Everybody bought their blue jeans there, so let's just tell you what that is. And I thought, okay, that's enough. So I turned around, and I pulled in there, and I started to turn around and come back out, and I looked up back up the highway Paonia-wise, and here come the town patrol officer. Lights on, siren. Okay, so he pulls in, and he stops me, and he pulls me over. He didn't pull me over, I just stopped. I mean, I knew that was it, I was done. So I just got out of the car, and I was waiting. And he pulled up, and he got out of the car, and he came up. And ever seen Barney Fife in Mayberry? He sits there, and he slaps his gun. Well, that's what this guy did. He came up and he walked up and he slapped his gun and he said, "You know, aren't you Wally Ogden's boy? I mean, it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." I said, "Do you know how fast you were going before I lost you?" I said, "I was going really fast. Faster than the speed limit, I'm pretty sure." He goes, "Oh, yeah, faster than the speed limit." He said, "Do you know you were going fast because I was going 95 miles an hour and you were running away from me?" He said, "You went blowing by me. He was by the other side of the Tasty Freeze, sitting there. And I didn't see him, didn't see nothing." He looked at me. He goes, are you just being stupid today or what?" He said, "Because you should know better. You're Wally Ogden's boy. You should know better. You should know that this is not right, this is not appropriate, that you don't do this. People get hurt when you do this." And he went on to give me a very long lecture. And then he said, "I've never stopped you before. I've never had any problems with you. I think you're probably a pretty good kid. He said, so this is going to be between you and me on the favor of your dad, because I owe your dad. Don't let there be a next time. Oh, no, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I drove the speed limit all the way back into town with him right behind me. All the way back down in. I share this story because what my dad did and the kind of honorable man that he was extended favor and that honor extended to me as a child of his. Keith shared a scripture with us this morning. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Our Heavenly Father calls us children. Our Heavenly Father is good. And He proves it to us over and over and over and over and over again. He proves it to us. And you know what? We receive the benefit of having that good Heavenly Father. But there's a caveat here. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. If we are known as His child, as His son, as His daughter, the world doesn't know what that looks like, and they don't recognize that. So it's not necessarily that you're going to be born into a life of ease and lap of luxury because you're the children of God. But it is that you have the Almighty God that is standing in your corner. He is behind every step that you make. He is with you and encouraging you and prodding, pushing you along and helping you and sometimes correcting, sometimes chastening, because that's what a good father does. A good father doesn't just candy coat everything and I love you, I love you, I love you, which is good, but you need to have the fullness of a father's heart extended to you. There's a story told by a gentleman by the name of Bill Hybels. And tells this story. He said, when I was learning how to sail, Dad would often say to me, go ahead, take the boat out, but make sure you take a friend with you. So they lived in Michigan, on Lake Michigan. And he would tell his son, go ahead and take the boat out, but be sure to take a friend with you. And they went out on this 42-foot sailboat on a body of water the size of Lake Michigan is a big responsibility, he writes. But I'd find a junior high friend, and we'd sail past the breakwater, hoist the sails, and then head out to the open water. But if I saw any cloud formation coming our way or the wind seemed to be piping up, I'd head back toward shore, take the sails down, regain my normal breathing, and then only when they were safely tied up in the slip. Now, most of the time it was fun having a friend along, but in a storm, I knew that that friend wasn't going to be much help. Now, other times, my dad would come home from work and he'd take out the boat. We'd take the boat out together. And when I was sailing with my dad, I actually looked for cloud formations and hoped for a heavier air. I loved the feel of the strong winds and the huge waves when I was with him. My dad had sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. He had endured 5 days of sailing through a hurricane. He was a veteran. And I was confident that he would be able to handle anything Lake Michigan could throw at us. Everything changed when my dad was on board. Everything changed. We have a dad that's on board. We have a heavenly father that is on board, that has given us a gift of his Holy Spirit that comes and resides with us, that guides us, that ministers to us, that teaches us and gives us direction. And if you will listen to his voice, he will direct you in the right way. I am grateful for fathers because they provide strength and courage. Because they provide inspiration to do better. Fathers that can see into my life, into our lives, and speak into our lives, that encourage us into things that we might not normally go for. They provide protection. They provide training and correction. You know, there's a... I read a lot of stuff, but there was this discussion about how does a dad best go about achieving some of the things that he wants to train his children up in the admonition of the Lord and to share Jesus and help them see what that looks like. And there's been a lot of discussion about whether it's quantity or quality, which one's better? How much? Which one is the best? And I would tell you that from my experience, I would say my advice to somebody that's looking along those lines, I would say this. I would say sometimes it takes a lot of quantity to allow for quality to happen. Sometimes it takes quantity to allow a space for quality to happen. And, you know, for some of us guys who maybe are not the most tender-hearted or expressive or just that's the way that we were raised, that's whatever it is, sometimes it takes us a little more time to get heart connected. But it is not in so much in the what you do, but it's in the relationship of doing it. It's coming together, spending that time, spending that quality time. Galatians 4, 6 through 7 says, "And because you are sons," which could easily be rendered daughters as well, "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ." Paul encouraged those around him to imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Our job is to pursue Christ with all of our lives. And as we do that, bring those along that God has brought into our care and let them watch us and let them ask us. And if I fail, ask for forgiveness. Ask for something. Help get understanding. Don't have to be perfect. You don't. But that relationship, that love, that care is what's going to hold us. I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to go ahead and open up the time for anybody that might want to share your story about a way that God has used your dad in your life to bless you. And it may not be your dad. Maybe it can be anybody, really. But I want to give everybody an opportunity to share this. So feel free. This was not prompted, by the way, because this is like the last one in the world that ever wants to pick up a microphone.
Careful. Right. See if I can not blow out the mic, maybe. All right, so my name's Corey. I'm his son. Stand over here. Is that better? Okay. Hello? Can everybody still hear me? Okay. All right. So the one thing that Dad said that whatever impacts me the most, so I have a little bit of a story to tell you. A while ago, I was 10 or 11 years old, and basically it came to a point where, I don't know, I was kind of a brat almost. I wasn't a very good kid. I was kind of rotten in many ways, shapes, and forms. And it basically came to the point where Mom and Dad had enough. And so they employed a tactic which is now known as the desert talk. Okay, so I'm going to let that one sit around for a minute. Y'all use your imagination. Basically what happened was one day I said something. They were both like, okay, we've had enough. So Dad put me in the car and we drove out to the middle of nowhere where he gave me the talking to of my life. I was pretty sure I was going to die, if that makes any sense to you at all. I was sure I was going to die. That was it. End of the line right there and then. But it was just, it was really funny because, it's not really funny, but the point was that I never knew this until now, but Dad apparently had to work himself up on the drive all the way up there. Sit there and, all right, I'm going to kill this guy. All right, we're going to beat him up. No, not really, but I'm mad. I had no idea. I'm looking over and I'm going, I'm dead meat. And just all these years later, I was just sitting here talking with him, and he said that, yeah, I had to work myself up for that. I had to really ramp it up to get it down, you know? And he said that, well, basically what I got out of was, you know, they have always, Mom and Dad, have always shown God's love to me. And they've always blessed me in so many ways that it became almost that I felt entitled to everything almost. So they turned it around and they showed me the wrath of God in a way. And I gotta say, Dad, you bombed it. But to this day, it is a reminder to me, just keep yourself in check and you'll be okay. You know, you will be okay. But I will say that was probably the one thing that stuck with me forever. And I probably would not be where I am today if he had not have done that. So, thank you.
Thanks for sharing. All righty then. There's probably more details to that we don't need to go into here, but I can tell you that as I was driving, it took everything I had not to giggle the entire way down there, because I knew what we were doing, but it was... Anybody else? Young kids? Older kids? All right.
My dad's really nice, and he's funny, and he loves me so much, and he's so fun, and he knows how to cheer you up really fast, and he's just the best dad in the world, and I love him a lot.
All right. Yeah, come on up. Just come on up. And
So Dad's not here today. His truck broke down on his usual route in Albuquerque for like 3 days. So he's on his way back. But I just wanted to honor him anyway. My dad is the opposite of me in a lot of ways. He is one of the most chill, laid-back, patient people that I have ever met in my life. I don't know anybody who can outpatient my dad. I can remember, I think, probably two times in my life where he actually got mad at me that I could see. I deserved it a lot more than that. But I really, really appreciate about my dad his patience, his gentleness, and his kindness, and that he is so, so good at including and involving other people. For a lot of my friends over the years who don't have dads or who don't have good dads, he's always kind of adopted them just by the way that he accepts everybody for exactly who they are and how they are at that time. So just a good shout out to my awesome dad there.
My dad also is not here. Neither is my mom, so I get to say whatever I want, right? I get to brag on him, and you guys will have to tell him what I said. So I guess what I really appreciate about my dad is, first of all, his sense of humor. If you wonder where a lot of the punniness came from, that was my dad. So I really appreciate the humor and that how he can lighten up tense situations with a well-timed joke. It really does wonders, and it like lifts the mood and makes everybody more cheery. And I also appreciate how incredibly hardworking he is. Probably that's one of the biggest things I've learned from him, is that he's very selfless in his hardworkingness. Our family has definitely been really blessed by that. I also get to speak, because my mom isn't here, for my grandfather, because he's super cool and awesome. And it's just always been fun getting to stop by your house, like on walks and stuff, and always have great conversations.
My dad is the best, period, the best. He's always there to tuck me in. He always is there first when I'm scared at night, when I have a nightmare. He's always at my dive meets. And us as kids, don't deserve our dads because they're amazing. And we should honor them every day and not just one day.
Love it. Anybody else? As I say, adults are welcome to talk about your dads as too. It's not just for the kids.
I was going to start by saying I didn't have a dad, but obviously I did, or I wouldn't be here. So, but my dad died when we were, there were three, my brother and sister and I, and we're just 1 year apart. And he died when we were very young. And so I didn't have the experience of growing up with any male presence. And my mom didn't have many friends, not because she was horrible, just very busy. She had to go to work and everything. And there just was no time, which I totally understand all that now. I have very few memories because we were so young when he died. I do remember once. I was being a little fart. That's all there was to it. And so he got on me once that I remember, but I totally deserved it. Even when I was that young, I remember I deserved that. And so the sternness sometimes that a father brings in too is very needful. And we can see, even as probably moms and wives and stuff too, you know, you can fuss at your kids and it sometimes has an effect generally, but it's almost not fair that a dad can say one thing, done. But I was just thinking, all you guys, because some of you have been such wonderful examples as well. Thank you, Stan. I mean, every time you get with this man, he's just talking Jesus the whole time. And I just so immensely appreciate that. And I see you guys, all you other young dads and everything too. It's just a joy and a blessing to see you be here, period, but then the input that you have in your kids' lives. And just very thankful how the Lord has brought in, I was about to say posers, that's rude. No, other men into, say, families that don't have dads and stuff too, which again, I didn't get any of that at all until, gosh, like ever and ever. Father figures, again, I reverence, so to speak, Stan, but to see the example of these other dads is pretty awesome, and then to have that for our kids too. They didn't have grandparents at all around them. They grew up without, but God is father to the fatherless and all that, so and it's a joy even with some of you guys' kids coming to our house too, and we love sharing our dad with you guys, so thanks.
I like my dad, and happy Father's Day, Dad.
My mom and dad had 5 kids in 6 years, 2 girls, a boy, and then 2 girls. My mom really did, let's just say they did the best they can with what they knew, and but one thing I knew about my dad, and this is what I wrote in his card, he always supported me. I was a softball player. I know this might be hard for some people to believe, but I actually have a lot of confidence in who I am, and so I never really thought I was bad at anything, you know? I was a really good softball player. I was really smart in school. I could sing, you know? You know, I'm just one of those people. But my dad did it. He just always came to every one of my softball games when I was growing up. And I always joke that I was his favorite, but I always knew that he was there for me. And you know, there's so many ways, and I could say so many ways he wasn't, but as adults, and when you become parents, you realize you need grace. So that's when you go, they did the best that they could, and I'm going to choose to remember the things that they did well. And that was one of the things my dad did well. And before Gianna speaks, I do want to say a shout out to Jeffrey and to Jean and to people who adopt or who maybe see their family change a lot different than God, maybe than you thought it might be when you first said, I do. So just, and being willing to be a father to other children that come other ways. So that's it.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for your patience, Dad, and because I know I'm a very stubborn person, and I always have to have the last word in a conversation, and so especially when arguing. And I just want to thank you for just everything that you do and working for us, and because Mom homeschools and you bring in everything and just all the food and everything that you do for us. And what? Oh, driving, yeah. I passed my permit test the other day, and so Dad took me on Saturday to practice at Desert Ridge High School, and so I was driving, and he came up with the strategy to try to get me to stay within the boundaries, and he was like, okay, just remember, if you go outside the boundaries, you'll get hit by a train, or you'll die, and I was like, okay, and so we're like driving, and I'm like, oh, I'm dead, and Dad goes at one point, he's like, yeah, we just got hit by a train, and so we're just like, I don't know, we've just died so many times, we've got like 8 lives, a lot of lives, and so I'm like driving and trying to stay within the boundaries, and it's just not working, and then Dad goes, okay, 4 more rounds, and we're done, and at the end, I was just like slacking off so much, like I wasn't in the boundaries at all, but I don't know. Just thank you. Well, hopefully we live through this driving practice. And if not, if you don't see us at church, then you'll know why. But overall, thank you, Dad.
My dad is really cool and awesome. And whenever we go to Costco, he always gets us like smoothies or pizza and stuff. And he's just really amazing.
Yay.
I might as well use the mic if I can. I have two dads to appreciate here today. First one is my dad. It's weird. But I really appreciate his servant's heart and how he'll do anything for anyone, especially me. So whenever I ask him to do something, I know it's going to be a yes. And just for how he goes and he loves all the new little kids that we always take into the house. He does a much better job at it than I would ever do. So good job, Dad. The third reason is because you're going to let me marry my best friend. So thank you very much when you've never even met him in person. The other dad here is Mr. McNeese Clark in the back. I just want to say that I love his passion for Jesus and how much he goes out and he wants everyone to know God. And walking through streets in Rome or wherever we were, he would just pray for anyone and love anyone, especially his own household, and how you invest every day into us and especially me. You help me see God in a way I never seen him before. So thank you very much, both of you.
My dad is awesome because he takes us swimming and takes us out for Chick-fil-A.
My dad, he's awesome because he gets the money so he can pay for taking me to baseball and stuff like that. And for Bible Bee, it's a thing that you learn verses and stuff. That's it.
Well, my daddy isn't here, but I just want to honor him and say a few words. Probably one of my first memories with him was we would go up to Flagstaff and ride the ski lift in the summer when it wasn't snowing. And again, it can start even in the summer, have a snowstorm in the middle of summer, or it was probably spring. And we were riding the lift, and my dad and I were in one seat. And we had five kids, but they were 16 years apart. But so they were all spread out, and my little sister wasn't there. But we were all in the two-by-twos, and we're riding up. And I loved it. And I was swinging my feet and the whole thing. And I was like, I love to be really high, and whatever I'm on, to be really shaky. And my dad would let me do this. I was on my mom to be putting seatbelts and everything. But it was my dad that allowed me to just have that free spirit, and I am so thankful. And he's the one that let me go way down deep in the ocean. And wherever, I mean, he just encouraged me to go past boundaries that I didn't know possible. And the last 5 years have been quite a trial into boundaries and deep water that I didn't know. But he has been there for every time. Every time I had to go to court, he was there. He was the person I could look at. And so just his faithfulness and letting me and believing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We also had a blast growing up as a kid. He was a manager of a bash's, and back then they closed on holidays and a lot of times on Sundays. And so he would take us, and he would have to check the alarm system and all. Nothing was computerized. So they had a little forklift, and we rode it like a scooter all through the store. We got to play a lot. We went to work. My mom thought it was more educational just to go and see him at his work and job. And so he didn't know. Would get in the dairy department, and those people would grab milk, we'd grab it from the other side. Or they'd open the door, and we had a blast. It really, truly was our playground. My dad knew nothing about all the crazy things we did, and he gave us jobs. He said, awesome. And the other thing that I'm just so thankful for is that he has been my children's dad the past several years, that he has stepped up and taken them in and helped them feel like they have a dad. And all of these dads here, their spiritual uncles, I call them, I praise you. I thank you, each one, Stan and Jean, Scott and Jeff, Bob and Clark, and George that's not here, and Keith, and Kent, and David. I am just blessed beyond measure to have all of you in our lives, and so the kids feel and know that they are a part of a family and well-loved, and yeah, that's
house, everything.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Take every one of those words, tuck them in here. Let them warm your heart, warm your spirit, and then take them and just lift them to God. Let's close. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are amazing. You are amazing in the gift that you give us in so many different ways. And you are you're always there. In our deepest, darkest hour, you are there with your arms enfolding us. When we're in that place of struggling through decisions that are hard, you are there speaking to our hearts, encouraging. When we're celebrating the victories in our lives, you are there celebrating and smiling and hollering and whooping right along with us. Because that's what a father does. That's what a good father. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you. I am so very grateful for, again, God, for the Father that you gave me. I am thankful for the men in this congregation that are giving of themselves to build your kingdom. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would give them favor. I pray for insight into each and every one of those that you bring under their care, under their spiritual covering. I pray for miraculous time, an abundance of extra energy that seems like it's never enough. And I pray, God, for our own relationships, that as we walk with you, as we search your heart, as we seek you out, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you, that we could understand what it's like to sit in our Father's lap and just be held. And Lord, we thank you for this. Pray for this week. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if anybody didn't get a bookmark for your dad, be sure and come up and grab one from Ms. Pauline, and she'll get you one of those. And then dads, there are the goodies on the back table. Please take one. Enjoy your root beer, your candy bar, or two. And dedication, and may God bless you this week.